When we read in Acts the second chapter in verse 21, it is a quote that is being taken by Peter from Joel the second chapter in verse 32. His sermon on this day, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, begins in verse 15. And he's speaking to those that have crucified the Lord and have called out for his blood. And he reminds them of the words that were written by Joel. And especially as we look here in verse 21, which is verse 32 of Joel, the second chapter. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You go out into the world and you ask the question, what is it to call on the name of the Lord? And you'll receive many different replies in connection with that. Well, it's a special spiritual, mystical experience that one goes through in calling on the name of the Lord. And then there is that reply that comes back from the Lord. And so we understand then we are one with Him. And then others will say it is simply nothing more than a prayer. That you say the sinner's prayer, and that's calling on the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins. Others will say it is works that you do. It's works in order to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved, and that has to be done. You have to do good works here upon this earth. How would we answer that particular thought? How could we go to Scripture and see what is being spoken of concerning the gospel call, calling upon the name of the Lord? I'm going to use two passages of Scripture in connection with an answer for this that I think that we find that maybe you have or maybe you haven't considered in connection with an answer. And it is the words of Jesus Himself, and the words that Jesus spoke was before His death. And those words are found in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus says there, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." There is a call, an invitation that is given there by the Lord Himself to those that are listening to Him this day. And it transcends not only that day in which He spoke, but it is all that can hear His voice and all that will hear His voice as long as time exist. And that invitation that is given by the Lord is ever present as long as time exists. And I think when we look at this passage of Scripture, we actually have an answer to what it is to call upon the name of the Lord, what it is to hear the gospel call. He starts out, first of all, with "come unto Me." Come is an imperative that is mentioned here. Come now, come forward. And it is with emphasis that this statement is being made. It is not "come to Me" sheepishly, "come to Me" incognito, but "come to Me" straightforward, "come forward unto Me," "come to Me" because it is imperative. That Jesus is making that particular reply in connection with Himself to those that are listening to Him. In 1 Peter 1 verse 24, here's the imperative aspect from that word "come" in this particular passage. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 24, Peter says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flower falls away." That imperative is emphasized even more when we look at this passage of Scripture. Because coming unto Him, it is time-based. We receive letters in the mail. And we see that sometimes those letters in the mail, usually they're junk mail, but it says "time sensitive" on the outside. I'm sure you've all seen that. Well, I will tell you that when Jesus says "come, come unto Me," it is time sensitive. And not in the way that the world means that, because they're trying to sell something, but because of what He's going to be saying after that. And not only what He says after that, but what is mentioned right here by Peter, that life is short and fleeting. And for our time to come to the Lord is very short. Our determination is time sensitive to do His will. Our obedience unto Him is time sensitive. It is while we are upon this earth. We look over in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 11 and 12. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and all shall give an account before the Lord. And we understand that those that do not make the confession of Christ Jesus while they are alive will still confess Christ, but not for their benefit, but only while they are alive. We also see, as we look over in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, the statement is made by Peter here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. The imperative aspect of Jesus saying come has to do with time. We don't know when that's going to take place. There are no signs of the coming of the end of time. The day of the Lord, the end of time, the judgment day, the great resurrection will come without observance. It will come as a thief in the night. When we look not directly at that, but also of what was mentioned by Peter earlier in the first chapter, verse 24 of 1 Peter, we understand that our lives are very short here upon this earth. And that come, that imperative nature of come now, come forward, that Jesus says here, is an emphatic, come unto me. It is with great importance. It is not only that which is time-based in connection with the response, come unto me, but it deals with the future that is not bound by time, but is eternal. Come unto me. He says, come unto me. And the reason he says that is because of what is recorded in Acts 4, chapter and verse 12. And Peter again is doing the speaking, nor is there salvation in any other, that is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Come unto me. Salvation is only through Christ Jesus. We have a directory that we put out for this congregation. That directory does not denote your standing with the Lord. It says that you're a member of this congregation. God only knows your heart. You know your heart. You know what you're doing. But it's not the indicator of a true fellowship with the Lord. We have a sign out in front of this building that says Church of Christ. That's not a true indicator just because of the sign. It's by what we do in observance of the Lord's will here at this place that makes us whether or not we are of Christ. And so the same thing is true in connection with our salvation, not the way that man puts it, but rather the way that is determined by God, determined by the Lord. Come unto me, because in Christ Jesus is that only means of salvation. And then Jesus says, all ye. Come unto me, all ye. And here he's talking about all being inclusive of those that can understand. We have religious friends that baptize babies that have no idea of what is taking place to them. We have religious friends that will baptize themselves for those that have passed from this life, baptized for the dead without a true understanding of what was being spoken in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. But this gospel call, just as Jesus says here, I believe, because as we see in this passage is speaking of the gospel call, all ye that understand, all ye that are accountable for your actions, all ye, and as Jesus put it many times, that has ears to hear, let him hear. We think about this, Matthew 11, verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ezekiel 3 and verse 10, moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I may speak to you and hear with your ears. He's not talking about the audible sound that is coming forth from someone's mouth. He's talking about the understanding that comes into the heart by the words of God that are spoken. And not only that, but also an application into one's life of those words that are understood. Because you see, without those three things taking place, hearing the audible words of God, or at least reading them, understanding what it is and application then into our lives, we're really not hearing. But rather we are dull of hearing if that does not take place. Jesus says, come unto me all. And the reason that he says all is that there is sin in the world. He says, first of all, in John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The physical life here upon this earth, separate apart from God, it is nothing. It is nothing. But the words that He speaks, they are spirit and they are life. We understand also from this aspect the words that Paul spoke to the Romans in Romans 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is the all that Jesus is referring to here. He's not talking about those that are innocent because of age, innocent because of mental incapabilities. He's talking to those and all of us that understand right and wrong, that understand that we are accountable for our actions, whether we agree with it or not. He's talking to all in connection with that. And that's part of the gospel call. Not only in coming, but also all in whom that message is given. Then he also says this: all ye that labor. All ye that labor. And when we look at that particular thought, spiritually wearied, exhausted in the active sense because of choices that are made. I'm sure that we've all seen people that are out there in the world. And maybe we've even found ourselves in this situation. That they get themselves into conditions and situations because of their choices that does nothing more than to cause them to labor even more to try to get out of them. And sin has that effect because it is bondage. Sin has that effect, as we're going to see, because of the laden that it places upon us. And we see that taking place in the world. And maybe it's even happened to us at times where we realize we are laboring so hard because we're not doing or reaching forth to the gospel call that's been given by the Lord. We think about this in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I will tell you, and I'm sure we've all seen this, with those that have great wealth, and that's where their treasure is, or even with those that are trying to have great wealth, and that is where the treasure of their heart is, it is a continual labor to keep it or to try attain it, rather than coming unto the Lord, rather than reaching forth, going forward in that gospel call. Matthew 19, verse 22, in the account of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Will keep the law. Which part? And he names several things there. He says, all these things I've done from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, if you will be complete, if you will be mature, if you will be spiritual, truly spiritual, a true follower of God, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And it says that when the man heard those words, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And so when we look at that, we understand. And this is not required of everybody. That they sell everything that they have. They have no possessions here upon this earth. And we do nothing other than just walk around and start preaching the gospel. That's not a requirement. Jesus, knowing the heart of this individual, realized where the heart of this man was. And he said, you need to make a choice. Either between me or the riches of this earth. He was laboring. He was laboring in connection with those riches. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we will be content. And those that are not content with that, if they're not living truly for the Lord and they're not following in that gospel call, they are laboring hard. The cares of this world are eating them up. But we need to turn to the Lord in this gospel call. And then he says, and our heavy labor and our heavy laden, spiritually overburdened, the result of one's choices once again. And as we think about that over in Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in others, for each one shall bear his own load. We understand that we're going to bear whatever choices we make. And that is the context in which this is being spoken of here in Galatians, the 6th chapter. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a sin, you which are spiritual, restore to such one in a spirit of meekness. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But he also comes back to this. Don't you understand that we examine ourselves and that we will bear our own load? And the caution that is given here is make sure that your choices are correct, because whatever choices you make, if they are sinful, there are always consequences. If they are righteous, if they are spiritual, if they are in accordance with God's will, there are consequences. But it is not heavy. It is not a heavy burden. It is rather light, as Jesus is going to say. But those choices of the world, those are heavy burdens. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You understand that sin and choices to sin, choices to live ungodly, choices to live not in accordance of God's will weight you down. It will bear a load upon you, and it is one that you cannot bear. You cannot bear. People have lost their lives, have lost their minds, has lost everything in this world because of this laden that they've placed upon themselves under the weight of sin. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And then he says this, and there you have the gospel call. And from this particular point then, we have the result from this. And he says this. In verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, have rest unto your soul. That is the spiritual rest that we receive from the Lord. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and here's the result. Have rest, spiritual rest. The things that may be causing the problem in our life may be physical, but when we look to the Lord, there is rest that we can come unto Him. That's where we can find that rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9 through 11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. You remember Israel, after they had left Egypt, was led by God to the precipice of the beginnings of the promised land. Enter into it, take it. And he sent out the spies. And of all they sent back, only two spies came back with a report saying, we can take the land, we can go into the land, we can possess the land just as God said. And all the other spies said, no, you can't do it. And from that particular point, this is what the Hebrew writer is saying, there remains a rest for us. We should never have the attitude that Israel, it is so hard to live in this world. There are so many bad influences that are out there. It is continually upon me all the time. How can I possibly make the right decision? Well, Jesus says that there is rest, there is spiritual rest, and that we can enter into it, and that we can make the decision. It's a determination by choice to do the Lord's will. Matthew 25, verse 20 through 21. So he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, so I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I don't know if we've looked at this before in that particular parable. But in those that gained, those that were productive, those that were doing the Lord's will and not like the 1 talent man that went and hid that talent in the ground. Do you understand, even though they were out using and doing with the Lord's money as was expected by the Lord, there was rest. Because they were in agreement and in fellowship with the Lord in so doing. But the one man, the one talent man that just hid his talent in the ground, knowing what sort of Lord he had, I know that you were an austere, and you reap where you do not sow, you gather where you have not planted. You've done all these things. He went and hid that talent in the ground, and I will promise you that there was labor and laden and worry upon him about what his Lord would find when he came back. And when his Lord came back, he said, cast that unprofitable servant out into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He placed a burden upon himself that need not be. The burden was lifted by the others that went to work and did what the Lord wanted. But he did not. He also says, Jesus also says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Be yoked with the Lord. That's talking about fellowship. Not only that, but also learning. And again, this is an imperative. The word learn there is an imperative. You cannot be ignorant of God's will and be yoked with me. And that's what Jesus is saying. Spiritual fellowship through knowledge of his will. When you look over in John 15, verse 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, Lord, I don't know what you command me. Well, learn of me. Go into God's word and learn of me. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. We can look into God's word to find out what it is that he wants from us, and we do not need be ignorant of those things. As a matter of fact, without knowledge, there is no fellowship with the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How do we depart from iniquity? By knowing the Lord's will. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some to honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. If we cleanse ourselves from the choices of the world and look into God's word where there is true knowledge, we can be yoked with him in fellowship. We also see that he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord is not an evil overlord. He is not one that is putting things in small print down at the bottom of our Bibles and not making known all the counsel of God before us. And if there'll be a surprise one day, well, all that God is doing is that he is grooming all of us here to take us at some point in time away from this place, and we'll be put as slaves doing labor somewhere else in the universe. No. No. We'll be exalted and glorified with him. And the reason being is that all this gospel call, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, that gospel call is from the standpoint of true love. The love of God. We think about this over in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking upon him the form of a bondservant, and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That is not an evil overlord. But it is one that came to serve you and I by the offering of sacrifice, and the only offering of sacrifice that could possibly be given for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus humbled himself, and that's the reason then that Paul presents this as beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you. We have that humility also of mind. Just as Jesus demonstrated for us through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. We understand that he's not that evil overlord. 1 Timothy 2 verses 4 through 5, who desires all men to be saved. That's his attitude. That is the desire of the Lord, to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He stands not as an evil overlord, but rather one that stands on our side. What a great result from the gospel call. He also says in verse 30 of Matthew, the 11th chapter, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Obedience to the Lord is neither complicated nor strenuous. You know, you go and you look at the catechisms, the manuals, the doctrines, the pamphlets of men, as far as dogmas and doctrines are concerned of their church. And I'll tell you, there are some complicated things that are in there, and there are some strenuous things that are expected of you and expected of people. But not so by the Lord. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not complicated and it's not strenuous. Those that are not Christians, they will hear His word. And that word through His faith can become children of God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10 and verse 17. And then making a change in our thinking as we see in Acts the 3rd chapter in verse 19. Repent therefore, be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. They're not going to come. That is, that time of refreshing from the Lord in that spiritual sense is not going to come without a change of mind. And that change of mind is listening to this gospel call. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you see, if there's not a change of mind, we might say to ourselves, well, everything's going fine for me. And it may be that everything is going great as far as this world is concerned, that you have possessions, you have a great job, you have a good marriage, you have children, obedient children, things may be looking really good. And yet there's still something that is missing in your life because you are not coming unto the Lord. You're missing it spiritually. And so that is the reason for that repentance, that making a change in our life. And if we'll do that, we're answering the gospel call just as we are when we hear God's word. And that we commit our life to the Lord. We see in Acts 8th chapter, verse 37, then Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And those words by themselves is meaningless unless it's put into action. The action then is seen as you go on down, and we can even look over in Acts 2 and verse 41. It's seen by obedience, that commitment that is there. And it's the answering of the gospel call. Those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. When we look at that, we understand that that's not complicated. Worldly religious doctrines of men are much more complicated than this. But not from God's word. It's not complicated at all. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There's the call. I will give you rest, and the rest that we have here is then entering into the fellowship with our Lord. What a wonderful call it is of the gospel. Obedience to the Lord is neither complicated or strenuous from the standpoint that we start to live for Him after becoming children of God. Galatians 2nd chapter and verse 20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You realize, as we are looked at upon this world in our action and our conduct and our beliefs and what we do, that if we are true children of God, all the laden is taken off of us. I'm not living for myself. I'm not vaunting myself. I'm not prideful. I'm living for the Lord. Make whatever accusation you want to make against me, but if I'm doing the Lord's will, you're not accusing me, you're accusing my Lord. That's living with a light yoke and without laden in this world. That's answering the gospel call. For the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He's taken that burden from me. And Christ Jesus did that for me. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, that's hard. Oh, that's hard. It's hard in comparison to the things that come about because of choices of the world? No. Living as a sacrifice where Christ is seen in our life is really the easy route. It's really, when we look at it, the path of least resistance in our conduct here upon this earth. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is separate from the world, acceptable unto God, but in accordance with His will, because we know what His will is. Which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable because of the gospel call. We can be saved. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renovation of mind. You know, the world says do this. And I see all the troubles and the problems that are out there because of the lies, because of the cover-ups, because of the underhanded dealings. I see all of that. I see broken marriages. I see families that have no respect for God and they teach that to their children. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I want to answer the gospel call. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovation of our mind, the renewing of our mind, that we may show forth what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we think about that, that's the obedience that is called for from the gospel call. And that gospel call is just not to those that are not Christians. It is those that are Christians answering that gospel call. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That gospel call must be answered by all. Those that are not Christians, those that are. The question, will you answer that gospel call that is given by Jesus here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Will you do it? This day, will you come unto Him? Come, again, imperative. When will your life end? You do not know. When will the Lord come again in judgment? We do not know. Come is imperative. While we are alive and while we can make choice. Unto me, not unto an organization, whether spiritual or not, not unto an ideology that is of this world, but unto Christ Jesus, because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. All ye that labor, that are in spiritual weakness, and all are, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are heavy laden, weighed down with the weight of sin. Jesus said, I can lift you from that. I can lift that off of you. Will we come to that gospel call? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you can come to it. And that's just the simple aspect of the gospel call. Will you answer it? If there are those who need to be baptized this morning for the remission of their sins, the water is ready. That's in accordance with God's will. Maybe those here today that are Christians, but they've not been living the way that they should. They look just like the world. We can't answer the call of Christ, of the gospel, and live like the world. But you have those that will pray with you and for you that are present here. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.